Okay, we're going to go on the record. This is case number 412249-403 in the estate of Nelva Brunsting. This is a status conference. Essentially set by, okay, we're going to go on the record. Is somebody playing a YouTube? Okay. Thought I heard that. For the record, let's have each attorney make an appearance and tell the court who you represent. Let's start with Ms. Bayless.
Bobby Bayless, Your Honor, I represent Carl Brunsting.
Steve Mendel representing Anita Brunsting.
Judge Corey Reed representing Candace Koontz-Fried in the law firm of Vosick and Fried, PLLC.
Morning, Judge. This is Neil Spielman, and I represent Amy Brunsting in her various capacities in this litigation.
Candace Schweiger, I represent Candace Corbis.
All right, and I have Ms. Candace Koontz-Fried. That's your lawyer, that's your client, right, Mr. Reed?
Yes, Judge, my client is present.
Okay. And you set this matter, right?
Yes, Judge, I did. And I can briefly go into it with you. As you're aware, this court has abated the malpractice portion of this dispute. That abatement has been pending since August 13th of 2020. In your order, you stated that the case is abated until after you issued a ruling on Carl Brunsting's partial motion for summary judgment. The briefing related to Mr. Brunsting's motion for summary judgment was submitted by all the parties on September 25th, 2020. It has been pending since that time. That's 405 days that we've been waiting for this portion of the case to be decided. As the court is fully aware, the lawsuit against my client has been pending for almost 10 years. The case itself has been quasi-abated since 2015 after Carl Brunsting resigned as the executor. We've asked this court on several occasions to allow the case to proceed forward. And so after almost a year of the case being waiting for a ruling on the motion for summary judgment, after 6+ years of waiting to proceed forward, I thought the only way to find out what the status of, one, the underlying case is, and two, the status of your ruling, is to request a status conference. So that's where we stand, Judge, just trying to look to figure out how much longer you intend to, abate the malpractice case. That way I can advise my client accordingly.
Any other lawyer wish to speak on this subject?
Neil, do you want to speak to what's pending on our side and may shed some light?
Sure. If it will help Mr. Reed and the court, it's true that Ms. Bayless filed a motion for partial summary judgment. Since that time, a number of different things that happened in the case, including we're able to actually get a trial date from the court. And so we are set for trial in 2022, April of 2022. And I believe we have a docket control order. I might have to yield back to Mr. Mendel to confirm if it was ever actually signed or not, but I believe it's been submitted with either an agreed set of dates or a mostly agreed set of dates. I can't recall if all of the parties weighed in with either being agreed or opposed or what as to the dock controller. Anyway, the point being, Judge, is that we're up and running, we have structure, and we're moving forward with this case. there will be an opportunity, just as Ms. Bayless has her motion for partial summary judgment on file, we have a motion for summary judgment that will be filed shortly that will give this court the opportunity to do anything from resolve the entirety of the case to granting partial summary judgment on certain issues to narrow the scope and focus of what it is we actually need to speak to the court and the jury about at trial. And I guess the only other thing that I would say that sort of dovetails into Mr. Reed's position is, as I understand the litigation that was initially filed by Carl Brunsting when he was the executor of the estate, it's essentially colloquially at least an attorney malpractice action based off of several trust documents that were written and executed that are also the subject matter of our litigation in the base case, those documents being challenged as valid, enforceable, et cetera. So nobody will really know whether or not attorney malpractice was committed until we know whether or not those documents were properly written, and that issue requires our case to be resolved before Mr. Reed's case can be resolved, if that makes any sense the way I said that.
Well, even if I deny the motion for partial summary judgment, it doesn't dispose of the malpractice claim.
Well, it depends which summary judgment you're referring to as a potential denial. If you're referring to Mr. Reed's summary judgment, of course that's true. If you're referring to Ms. Bayless's summary judgment, yes, that is also true. Ms. Bayless's summary judgment doesn't address the enforceability of the documents, but our summary judgment will address the enforceability, essentially stating that they are legally enforceable.
Why is it that you are, Ms. Bayless' clients filed this MSJs, I think sometime in July of 2015, is that correct?
I don't recall the exact date, but yes, Judge. So her motion for summary judgment, I don't want to speak for her, is essentially about one portion of the case where the overall litigation, as I understand it, one segment of it is, were gifts or distributions made to some siblings but not to Carl Brunsting, and was that proper or improper? That issue, I believe, is what is the subject of Ms. Bayless's partial motion for summary judgment. That issue, that motion was filed, and Amy and Anita, through Mr. Mendel's office and mine, we filed our response, and I think Mr. Reed is correct in saying that those issues are fully briefed and in front of the court. The other topic, the other big issue in this case is the documents themselves, the ones that were drafted by Vasek and Fried and executed by the decedent Nelva Brunsting, that are being contested in one form or fashion by Carl Brunsting and or Candace Curtis. Those issues, the enforceability, from a legal perspective, as well as from a factual perspective, those have never been presented to the court yet through a summary judgment. We will present those issues in our motion, and then the parties will be able to file and brief however they wish to in response. I would expect, Your Honor, that Mr. Reed might even file something along the lines of an amicus type brief once he sees that motion, because it will educate the court in a way that will help the court ultimately deal with the claims against Mr. Reed's client. The overlapping issues about these two cases that we've spoken about essentially every time they've come up.
Judge, if I could speak to what Mr. Spielman just said, there's another portion of my motion for partial summary judgment that relates to interpretation of the documents. And as I recall, the court's ruling at the time that the briefing schedule was set up to allow people to reply yet again, many months later to my motion for partial summary judgment, you indicated that there weren't going to be any other motions for summary judgment allowed until you ruled on my motion for partial summary judgment. And I think in part that was because it does include questions about interpretation of the instruments themselves. So I still think, you know, we're in a posture where we need the court's ruling on that motion for partial summary judgment.
And Ms. Bayless, on the your partial motion for summary judgment about the validity of the QBD, I think that's the main thrust of your motion. Is it right?
Well, there are two thrusts. Mr. Spielman's right. There is a portion that relates to some improper stock transfers, what we allege are improper stock transfers. And then there is a portion that is basically seeking a ruling on declaratory relief about the interpretation of the documents.
And would you agree with me hypothetically that if the QBD was valid, that in and of itself doesn't make the claims of breach of fiduciary duty go away?
I do agree with that, Your Honor.
Those can still exist based on disbursements to some beneficiaries and not to others.
Right.
Right. Well, gentlemen, y'all have, and ladies, y'all have been more than patient with the court. I will commit to giving you a ruling within the week.
We appreciate that, Your Honor.
Thank you, Judge.
There's been a lot of things going on in the court. I'm not going to spend too much time other than trying not to fall on my sword any deeper than I already have. And I will, I'll get back with you.
Thank you, Judge.
Appreciate it, Judge.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
Is there anything else right now?
Not on the record, but I might like to talk to Mr. Reed about that beard he's got going.
Well, you can do that off the record. Ms. Schweiger, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Your Honor. Thank you for asking.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Why did it stop? Candy, is it still going on? Okay, so I guess this is it.